probably familiar with the television series The Chosen. Now, for those of you who aren't, The Chosen is a multi-season series about the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. They're actually filming the fourth season right now. So you can go back and get all the other seasons on YouTube or on their app. But anyway, it's extremely popular with over 100 million viewers worldwide. And because the producers aren't limited to a two-hour time slot, the show offers a lot of insights into the Jewish culture of that day, as well as the spectrum of joys and sorrows, the tensions, the opposition, the amazement, the struggles of faith that Jesus caused through his teachings, his miracles, his personal interactions. Now, it's not a Catholic production, but I highly recommend it as something that will enrich and bring new depth to your faith. Now, the reason I mention that is because I was particularly struck by an interview that Jonathan Rumi, who's a devout Catholic, who's the person who actually plays the person of Jesus. And he was talking about the burden of playing that role of Jesus. He said, "At times I feel overwhelmed by the responsibility to play my role authentically so that God can use me." He says it's overwhelming to think that people are looking at me as a 21st century personification of Jesus. And a short time later, something struck me. I said, "Wait a minute. The feast that we celebrate today, the Ascension, is the day that we were all commissioned to share that burden. Just before ascending, Jesus says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then in our gospel, we heard, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." Do we take our role seriously? That same burden given to Jonathan Rumi is given to each of us in a unique, personal way. We are called to be Christians, to be little Christs, to be 21st century images of Jesus to the world. Now, anybody who has done any serious acting knows that if you're going to represent somebody as an actor, you have to study that person, their life, their ways. If possible, you want to spend some time with them. Well, we can do that with Jesus anytime, any day. As we heard in that first reading, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up. We have the means to prepare ourselves to be Jesus to the world. We can do it through prayer, through scripture studies, through our friendships with committed Christians, the grace of the sacraments, quiet time with Jesus in the Eucharist, and now we can even do it watching television. Do we take our preparation seriously? What would happen if we all did? At the Ascension, Jesus goes to be with the Father to intercede for us. Why? For our personal needs? You know, oh Jesus, help me to pass my math test. Or, oh God, let there be nice weather for the baseball game tomorrow. Heavenly Father, let my doctor's visit go well. Okay, sure. Yes, Jesus hears those prayers because he loves us. But even more important, Jesus intercedes for us to strengthen our witness, that we might be Christians. As Jonathan Rumi said later in the interview, he said, "I shouldn't be here, but I know that I am here for a reason. I take that into account, and then I surrender to God and tell the story of his goodness." Fantastic. That's the kind of prayer that Jesus longs to hear. One of those prayers in which we're open to God and to his plans for our lives. Because Jesus assures us, he says, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me," to Jesus. The church is not our little undertaking. To be sure, we each have a role. However, it is Jesus who has the power and the authority. It is his spirit that leads us. It's his teachings we're giving to people. It's the story of his goodness that we're telling. And a critical part of that proclamation is the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It's why we celebrate Easter for 50 consecutive days every year and on Sundays. Over the years, I've collected about 13 historical reasons to believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Now, you'll be happy to know I'm not going to do all 13. But I do want to mention three, because the first one is a very powerful one that's captured in the scriptures we hear today. He presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. Historians will admit that it is historically significant that there were different witnesses at different times over a 40-day period, plus there was one time when over 500 people saw the risen Christ at once. Jesus appeared for 40 days to prove the truth of the resurrection and to show that the power he had during his ministry was still his. A second proof of the resurrection is something that we will hear next week, the events of Pentecost. Think about it. Why is it that the apostles waited 50 days after the resurrection before proclaiming the resurrection? That seems a little fishy to me. People don't normally do that. We share good news immediately. The apostles waited 50 days. And yet, when the apostles proclaimed the truth, why were thousands converted that day? Because the people already knew the facts. They were just waiting for somebody to explain what they had experienced or heard about for the past 50 days. And then a fascinating thing happened in the young Christian community, which is proof number three. Without any evidence of argument or dissent, the Christians switched the day of worship from Saturday, which was given by God to Moses, to Sunday, the day of the resurrection. That's staggering. God gave the law to Moses about 1,400 years before Jesus. Honoring the Sabbath is one of the central fixtures of the Jewish religion. And yet the Christian community changed it to the day of the resurrection. Dear people, Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus has the power and authority. He has given his Spirit to lead us and to guide us. As was said near the end of that interview, he said, "I have to remind myself that it's not my job to feed the 5,000. It's only to provide the loaves and the fish. We provide the witness and then leave it to God to change the hearts. Yes, the burden to be Jesus has been given to us. You too are chosen, but you're not alone. Take it to heart that God puts you here for a reason. Then surrender to God and tell the story of his goodness. Because here's what I think you're going to be shocked to learn. It isn't a burden after all. It's a privilege and a joy. With each time that you witness, the peace and the power of the Holy Spirit will increase in you. That's my hope for each of us. And so I want to close with the words of St. Paul from that second reading. He said, "May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe."